Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that are listening over the phone and also over the radio and later on the record, Sabbath blessing everyone on this Sabbath, September 14, 2019. This is our part two review of our chapter 62 entitled The Feast at Simon's House, part 5. This is our lesson 286. Our opening hymn to our theme of study is entitled, I'd Rather Have Jesus. And if any one of the dear brethren would like to join in the singing of the hymn, you can unmute your mic. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or land. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain. Oh, behead in sin-dress way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldly fame. I'd rather be true to his holy name than to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sinless way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
He is fairer than the leaves of the rarest bloom. He is sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He is all that my hunger and spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead than to be the king of a vast domain or be held in stress way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
He's fairer than lilies of a rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of a comb. He's all that my hungering spirit need. I'd rather have Jesus and let him lead to be the king of a vast domain, or be held in sin-dress way. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. So true. We have to sing it twice. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests, would like to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
For waking us up this morning.
I can do it.
Okay.
Thank you, God. Thank you, my friends. May I pray. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your blessed name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to enter again to your Sabbath rest. I pray, dear Father God, that you be with us, mind, body, and spirit. Send your holy angels to encamp about us, dear Father God, in whatever regions or quarter we may be. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, that you will be amongst us, dear Father. We so desperately need you to illuminate our minds and our hearts and our spirits. Help us to focus upon you and to truly keep our eyes upon things that are above and not to be boggled down with things that are on the earth. We know that you have made a solution for every issue, every problem that we are facing individually as a group, as a people, dear Father, as believers, that you have already made a way. Help us to be obedient to your word and to have faith and to remove doubt. Please be with those that are sick and shut in, dear Father, those that cannot be with us for whatever reason. Please be with those that will be listening to the recording at a later time. Please with those over the be with those over the phone.
Mommy.
Be with those also that are traveling, dear Father. Be with those that are on the front line. We pray that you continue to keep us according to your perfect will. We thank you and we love you. Forgive us once more where we have fallen short. In Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer, we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Our opening verse for our review lesson is taken from Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. For our theme, margin, it's a memory verse that we sing for the children so they can be able to remember.
Come now, and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as the snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord.
Amen. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones, before we receive your questions, comments, or anything you would like to share with the Remnant family, dear ones? Let's take a few minutes to review our last Sabbath reading from part one of our lesson entitled The Feast of Simon House, part five, in our storybook, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family would like to take the first paragraph, may you unmute your mic.
Desire of Ages, page 565.
After
knowledge
gave
them
a
true
sense
of
the
many
things
they
might
have
done
For
Jesus.
Expressive.
Expressive.
Good job. Of.
Of.
The.
The.
Long.
Long.
And.
And.
Gratitude.
Gratitude.
Good job. Of.
Of.
Their.
Their.
Hearts.
Hearts.
While.
While.
They.
They.
Were.
Were.
Near.
Near.
Him.
Him.
Mm-hmm. When.
When.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Was.
Was.
No.
No.
Longer.
Longer.
With.
No, with.
Them.
Them.
And.
And.
They.
They.
Felt.
Felt.
Indeed.
Indeed.
As.
As.
Sheep.
Sheep.
Without.
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 A.
A.
Shepherd.
Shepherd.
Good job. Amen.
Desire Ages, page 565, continuing. They began to see how they might have shown him attentions that would have brought gladness to his heart. They no longer cast blame upon Mary, but upon themselves. Oh, if they could have taken back their censoring, their presenting the poor as more worthy of the gift than was Christ. They felt the reproof keenly as they took from the cross the bruised body of their Lord. Desire of Ages, page 565, paragraph 2.
Desire of Ages, page 565. The same want is evident in our world today, but few appreciate all that Christ is to them. If they did, the great love of Mary would be expressed. The anointing would be freely bestowed. The expensive ointment would not be called a waste. Nothing would be thought too costly to give for Christ. No self-denial or self-sacrifice too great to be endured for his sake. This is Desire of Ages, 565, paragraph 3. And on the slide, it says there's another verse. They're losing all to know Christ. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And I think my screen won't let me read that verse, Philippians something. It's cut off.
Philippians.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. Blessed Sabbath, Sisi and family. Blessed Sabbath, Garai and family. Blessed Sabbath, Joshua, Gina, and Rose. Blessed Sabbath, Brother Dick and Sister Lane. Blessed Sabbath, everyone.
Sabbath blessing, dear Dad. And the scripture in the very bottom is from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. This is Desire Ages, pages 565, paragraph 3. And if anyone of the dear family would like to take the following paragraph, may you unmute your mic.
Desire of Ages, page 565. The word spoken in indignation, to what purpose is this waste,
Mommy,
brought vividly before Christ, the greatest sacrifice ever made, the gift of himself as the propitiation for a lost world? The Lord would be so bountiful to his human family that it could not be said of him that he could do more. In this gift of Jesus, God gave all heaven. From a, human point of view, the text is blocking. Sorry, yes, from a human point of view. Continuing on the next slide.
Sabbath blessing, everyone. Sabbath blessing, Dad. Desire Ages, page 565, continuing. Such sacrifice was a wanton waste to human reasoning. The whole plan of salvation is as waste of mercy and resource. Self-denial and wholehearted sacrifice meet us everywhere. Well, may the heavenly host
look with amazement upon the human family who refuse to be uplifted and enriched with the boundless love expressed in Christ. Well, may they exclaim, why this great waste, Desire Ages, 565, paragraph 4. Amen.
For the atonement for a lost world was to be full, abundant, and complete. Christ's offering was exceedingly abundant to reach every soul that God had created. It could not be restricted so as not to exceed the number who would accept the great gift. All men are not saved, yet the plan of redemption is not a waste because it does not accomplish all that its liberality has provided for. There must be enough and to spare. Desire of Ages 565, paragraph 5.
Desire of Ages, page 566. Simon the host had been influenced by the criticism of Judas upon Mary's gift, and he was surprised at the conduct of Jesus. His Pharisaic was offended. He knew that many of his guests were looking upon Christ with distrust and displeasure. Simon said in his heart, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Desire Ages 56.
Desire of Ages, page 566. By curing Simon of leprosy, Christ had saved him from a living death. But now Simon questioned whether the Savior were a prophet, because Christ allowed this woman to approach him, because he did not indignantly spurn her as one whose sins were too great to be forgiven, because he did not show that he realized she had fallen. Simon was tempted to think he was not a prophet. Jesus knows nothing of this woman who was so free in her demonstrations, he thought, or he would not allow her to touch him. Desire of Ages, page 566, paragraph 2.
But it was
Simon's ignorance
of God and of Christ that lead him to think as he did. He did not realize that God's Son must act in God's way with compassion, tenderness, and mercy. Simon's way was to take no notice of Mary's penitence service. Her act of kissing Christ feet and
anointing
them with ointment had exasperating to his hard heart underneath. He thought that if Christ were a prophet, he would recognize sinners and rebook them.
To this unspoken thought, the Savior answered, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, and the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?
Me?
Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Desire of Ages, page 566, paragraph 4.
Amen. Good job, everyone, little ones. Let's consider this verse for our review section. Taken from 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15, King James Version. For sanctified, O Lord God, in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you all reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Amen.
So what have we learned in ways we have grown? Little ones, mommies or daddies, our dear remnant family. If you have any question, may you unmute your mic.
I have a question. Did Jesus tell old Simon that parable about the creditor and the two debtors to let Simon learn that Christ can forgive of sinners?
Yes, he did use the parable to allow Simon not only that he is God and he can forgive sin, but also who that is more a sinner in this world will give more love and gratitude to the one that feel that doesn't have that much. So by bringing the creditor's parable, it was allowing him to see that he that he forgive most will have more gratitude than the one that doesn't. And at the same time to awaken Simon's heart also that what he think that Mary was more of a debtor to him, it was really vice versa. Simon was, because it reveals the type of heart he had and the ignorance of he knowing who was the one that was speaking to him, the Son of God. Is there any other questions, comment, anything that you have learned during these few five parts of our study? You can begin to do so. Unmute your mic, dear ones. Our dear elder also said that yes, to show Simon to be merciful to all as well. Amen. And Sister Gina, want to share?
My attention to also the study was that we forget that we all are sinners, not because one sin is covered and the other one is not covered. It makes us less than a sinner than the other one. So like Mary's sin was so exposed that they all judge her for what she have done, but still yet Simon had other things that was hidden that only him and the Savior had known. And still yet, you know, he forgot about it. He just disregarded.
It reminds me of what happened also when they was going to stone the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she was already in this position of a repentant sinner, and yet everyone was going to stone her.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord had searched their heart and said, he that is without sin cast the first stone. That reminds me of that as well. Is there any questions, comments, or anything you would like to share with the dear remnant family, dear ones? May you begin to do so. And your mic.
There was something that resonated with me this entire week, and I think it was dear Sister Christina that had mentioned this, and it was so profound what was said a few weeks ago. I'm paraphrasing, so don't hold me to it verbatim, but don't do what Christ wouldn't do, right? And that is, don't judge anyone according to before its time, and also don't force anything upon anyone either before its time also. There's a time for everything. This week, I was, and this is something that I have to learn and is continuously learning. Don't think that you're better than anyone or that you are above anyone or something cannot happen to you, or yours. Like I typically do, throughout the week, from time to time, I share scriptures or spirit of prophecy with folks. This one particular day, I shared something and I sent it to someone that I typically don't, but I reached out right after and I said, hey, I hope you don't mind me sharing, this with you. This individual has asked me to pray before when circumstances arose for them or difficulties or just even going through a situation, they would ask me to lift up a prayer. So I always let them know, give them an opportunity, but I had to learn not to take it personal if they tell me, no, I don't want it. And I had to also learn not to judge and make a decision for them. I could just only give according to what is given and just give them the opportunity to make a decision. So I said, hey, I hope that you don't mind if I share this with you. And the person responded, I'd rather opt out. And it was okay. For the first time in a long time, it was okay. It wasn't okay in my mind. I'm like, oh, my opportunity to pray for this person, but I didn't take it personal, nor did I say, oh, you're wrong for that, or, you know, this one, or force it upon her. It was almost like, okay, I take it. I respect your wishes going forward, you know, and the individual did say that, you know, I appreciate the prayers and the good thoughts that you always do for me, but I'm not a religious person, you know, so I rather opt out. And I said, you know, okay, you're entitled. So just going back to saying that was very profound what dear Sister Christina had said, you know, don't do what Jesus wouldn't do, and that is to, like, say, don't judge anyone or force anyone to do anything that, you know, we would want them to do according to our thinking. So that was something that I wanted to share.
Sister Cece, although you think it was like you failed, you didn't, because you opened just a window, a door. You understand? For them to really now recap, because that is what God allowed you. He just needed a little bit. You're going to see that little seed that you planted, or that little saying, or that little scripture, is written in stone. You know, you already sent it. He always could go back to it and read over. So you might not see it now, but later on the Lord gonna show you, because it's still a seed that you planted. Whether the mouth say it, but the spirit didn't say it, you know, because the Lord allowed that. I just wanted to share that with you.
Amen. And also, and the Lord also share, also when we are judging others, our eyes are not on ourselves as to our sins. And continuing, there's also another, Yi Yi said, if you should apply to our everyday lives, there's that says that when you point your finger at another for more than pointing at you back, four more are pointing back to you, I believe. And, any other, also, Elder Rob shared Luke chapter 5 verse 39 as well. If anyone would like to put the verses that it could be read, and I will release the mic for somebody else to speak.
Yes, as you could help us out by everybody, I'm just excited, Gandhi, considering the divine strategy about the plan of salvation. When God designed it, he did not think anyone could be better than the other or bigger than the other in capacity. But here is a situation when you refer to the first, one of the first Christian churches, where we read in Acts 13 verse 1 up to 3, you find that the Spirit told Paul to separate for them some members among the first church, and people came together to fast and pray, and then lay hands on them, and then they were sent out to go and plant the seed. So you find in that church there was somebody called Niger, who is preferably was a black man. The others were white, others of different race, but they came together for a particular issue. Worship, fast, pray, and then the Holy Spirit sent them out. Nobody was better than the other. Nobody was bigger in capacity than the other, but they were for a plan of salvation to plant the seed to the whole world. Thank you. That's what I wanted to share. maybe you can read Acts chapter 13, verse 1 to 3 or 4, around that. Okay, thank you. Happy Sabbath.
Blessed Sabbath, Brother Joel, and I agree. That's why it's very important. When the Holy Spirit is the one ruling and leading all the hearts, there really wouldn't be these issues. But when we are all men with like passion, when we remove Christ from the center, these are the things that the enemy will use to be able to divert the individuals from doing the work. Keeping in mind that it's holy men of God move according to the Holy Ghost. And on Luke chapter 5, verse 39, it says, no man also, having drunk all wine, straightway desireth new, for he said, the old is better. And I will remove myself just in case there's somebody. Topic is very important, but we have to move along. If there's any scripture songs or hymns that you would like to share with the Remnant family, dear ones, you can begin to do so. Or any thoughts or any poems. Meanwhile, anyone would like to come up to share. I also found a poem that is entitled, I Am My Brother's Keeper. And this one is taken also from Adventist Review and Sabbath Herald, Volume 10, 1857, dated July 16. And this is taken from Uriah Smith, resident editor. Meanwhile, anybody is looking for a scripture song or what they would like to share, if any one of the different would like to take any one of the verses to read for the points for the room, may you unmute your mic.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. Must I my brother keep and share his pain and toil and weep with those that weep and smile with those that smile and act to each a brother's part and feel his sorrows in my heart?
Must I his burden bear as though it were my own, and do as I care, should to myself be done, and faithful to his interests prove, and as myself, my neighbor love?
Must I prove his sin? Must I partake his grief, and kindly enter in and minister relief? The naked clothe, the hungry feed, and love him not in word but deed?
Then Jesus, at thy feet, a student let me be, and learn as it is meet, my duty, Lord, of thee. For thou didst come on mercy. Life was love to man.
Go.
Hey. Oh, make me as thou art, thy spirit, Lord, bestow, the kind and gentle heart that feels another woe, that thus I may be like my head and in my Savior's footsteps tread. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And also, I would like to read what was shared from the family. Sometimes the excess of talent or capacities don't let to a person to be used by God because he or she is not able to serve to God humbly. Amen. And let me just make sure that I didn't pass anything else that anybody wanted to share. Okay, I'm going to continue on the other one. Thank you so much, dear ones, for reading the poem. If there's any testimony, any story that you would like to share with the Remnant family, dear ones, may you unmute your mic. Well, we are going to give the chance for our dear brother, Grave, to be able to also have the opportunity to ask questions. This is story time, and he's going to have the opportunity to do the same.
piece from last week. In the meantime, are there any questions about this story that I read you last week? I'll check the, well, let me go back here just a minute. Try and mark this so that it'll be there when I get back. All right. Courage and power are needed today. And in every deed for this cause have I raised thee up for to show in me or in thee my power and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. That's a little hard sentence to try to understand. Let's see if another version would help you. I have put you here so that I could show you my power. Then people all over the world will learn about me. This verse is talking about King Pharaoh of Egypt. And God put him there at that time because he knew that he was going to have a bad character. And he wanted to let people see what bad characters do and then show his love for his people. Christian life is more than many take it to be. It does not consist wholly in or be only a life of gentleness, patience, meekness, and kindness. These graces are essential or needful, but there is need also of courage, force, energy, and perseverance. Do you remember what that word means? You keep doing something even if it's hard. That's perseverancia, or perseverance in English. The path that Christ marks out is a narrow, self-denying path. Does anyone know what self-denial means? That means going without something. We deny ourselves of foolish things in this life because Jesus has promised us something better in heaven. To enter that path and to press on through difficulties and discouragements, feelings like, I can't do it, so I'll just give up, that is discouragement. And difficulties and discouragement require men and boys and girls who are more than weaklings. Men and boys and girls of stamina or strength are wanted. Boys and girls who will not wait to have their way smooth and every obstacle, that's something in your way, to be removed. Boys and girls who will inspire with fresh zeal the flagging efforts to dispirited workers. That is saying we must encourage the discouraged. Boys and girls whose hearts are warm with Christ's love and whose hands are strong to do their master's work. Some who engage in missionary service are weak, nerveless, spiritless, easily discouraged. Missionary service is telling others about Jesus, and missionaries have to be just the opposite. They lack push. They have not those positive traits of character that give power to do something. The spirit and energy that kindle enthusiasm, they don't sound like they really believe what they're saying. Those who would win success must be courageous and hopeful. They should cultivate not only the passive, but the active virtues. While they are to give the soft answer that turns away wrath, this is the passive virtue, they must possess the courage of a hero to resist evil. This is an active virtue. With the charity that endures all things, they need to force the character that will make their influence a positive power. Need the force of character that will make their influence a positive power. Some have no firmness of character. This weakness, indecision, you can't make up your mind, and inefficiency, or sloppy work, should be overcome. Men of power are those who have been opposed baffled and thwarted. Somebody to thwart something is to mess up your plans. By calling their energies into action or by working, the obstacles they meet prove to them positive blessings. They gain self-reliance or experience, conflict and perplexity. Being perplexed is having questions that have no answers. Conflict and perplexity call for the exercise of truth, of trust in God, and that firmness which develops power, sons and daughters of God. 203. Let me read this last verse in a language you can understand. I have put you here so that I could show you my power. Then people all over the world will learn about me. That's another version of Exodus 6:19. Now let's see. I do this. This says save. There. Now we're back. Let's go. Let me go back and see if there's any questions. Does anybody have any verbal questions? That means if you want to say something, ask a question.
I had a question and placed it in the room. How can you help them to understand the difference between having courage according to how the world would see it versus having courage according to how the Lord would have it?
Well, courage in the world is self-assertiveness. Courage in Christ is humility, but constancy. In other words, you have courage and you believe and keep going. Did that help?
I think, and just to build on that a little bit, I said I find that people tend to misappropriate the talents that the Lord bestows based on the teaching of men. And going even a step further, like what they're taught in school and in the homes that are not led by God. Meaning, right, they tell us, and it's embedded in us, that we have to go to school to get an education to be successful in the world, right? But we know, and they tell us, they drive ambition. You have to have ambition. You have to have ambition, be ambitious. So even sometimes without even giving a chance to be taught what godly ambition is versus worldly ambition, we are led to just do it the one way and to see it the one way. And by the time we are adults or being able to make a decision, our mind is already shaped towards doing it the way that the world see it. So that was the basis behind my question. Sometimes people aren't taught, you know, about godly ambition versus worldly ambition or courage in the world versus courage in God. They're just taught the one way, and that's the one way that drives our lives, that we are blinded by what is true, what is real, and how it should be. So how would we go about teaching that to people from an earlier age?
So it's like courage in the world would be like trying to prove something to others. And godly courage is more like standing on principle regardless of what others think or say.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Read them Bible stories that teach the principles that you wish to wish for your children to learn.
The first question that I would ask, where are we building? Are we building to the world or are we building to God? You see, the Lord said that we are just pilgrims passing through. So from little, even when our parents that don't know God teach us the other way, okay, that is because they're building to this world, you know, for them to be able to be independent and, you know, education. But when you bring up your children in a Christian home, we really building towards God. We putting things towards what it is that we building. Our treasure is in heaven, not is on earth. So I think that would be the difference between both. Our parents that teach us that they don't know God. They know some things about God, but don't know all of it. So they think that education is the way out of poverty and, you know, depending on them, all these different things. So that is my thought.
I would like to also share that when you say courage in the world and courage as a Christian, in the world, courage is given as the individual have to find something within themselves to be able to be courageous and to be able to go about going forward. But when we as Christian, when we teach our children, everything that we have, everything that we become comes from God. So therefore, the courage is not on ourselves. The courage is on having trust in God and to have the courage to be able to allow Him to work in us. Therefore, we will be able to take it right back to who is the one that allows us to be what we should be in this world. Even though a lot of people will use the word courage and find themselves still failing, it's because the talent, the abilities that they have in this life, it is not from themselves and it's not searching something from within, but it is a gift from God. So by going back to who's the one that will give us not only the gift of what we should become, but to trust in Him to bring it to periphery inside of our life, then you turn it right back to allow the world to understand that there is nothing really good in us. Everything that we have been given, it is really borrowed. And we need to go back to the one that gave it so we will know exactly how to be courageous in the world. I just wanted to share.
Well, also, it's like the theory of Santa Claus. All this time, children believe in Santa Claus, thinking that Santa Claus is the one that brings the gift. And on all along, it's your parents that gives it. So it's that theory, I think is somewhat similar to that we teach them or we give them a dream, but it's not really, they are not the one that doing, Santa Claus do not exist. But how many children believe that until a certain age, but all along their parents is the one that do the things for them. So that is, I think that I could relate that to that, you know, what we are talking about.
Just to be able to acknowledge some of the comments that have been placed, our dear brother Joel say, you do things wholeheartedly without any complaint, but by the leading of His might. Amen. I stand and agree. And our dear Elder Rob said, the world views courage as fighting a strong person, while God views courage as fighting against personal sin.
Amen.
Amen. And also, Brother Joel also shared, I think they look at humility as they do. And Brother Dick, this is going to be your section, so I'm sorry. Let me just step back and allow Brother Dick to be able to read it. Brother Dick, we are at the point where it says Proverbs 16:32 from Elder Rob.
I just want to say something, sorry, and make an observation about the concern and the reason behind that question. Growing up, I think my grandmother played more of a part in making sure that I went to church and it was a Sunday church and like making sure I was in Sunday school and so forth. My mom didn't go to church like that, at least not to the capacity that my grandmother would do it. And I just want to, I guess my concern comes in, right, with the question of like, train up a child in the way that he will go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, is what Brother Dick said, I believe, as a part of how we can change that, right? But in some instances, if parents don't know better, they're to go according to the truth that they know, and it does not mean that it's godly truth or godly principle. And I think I have a concern, because even now, I was raised up, like I said, by my grandmother to go to Sunday school, to do things. And when I came to this country, my mom here, she continuously sent us to church and so on and so forth. She didn't go with us, but she sent us. But it was almost as if now what I'm realizing between both my parents, when the Lord revealed himself to me by teaching me the Sabbath truth and stuff like that, my parents are still holding on to the Sunday way of doing things. And sometimes they're not even learned in the sense of understanding the scripture or knowing the meaning of the scripture. So I would have to, like, by the grace of God, still remain in the child's place, not to offend or do anything when they're telling me or showing me something. Or even when I'm sharing scriptures with them, I have to feel like I'm treading lightly, because their understanding is not, and just bear with me as I'm saying this, their understanding of the scriptures is not to what it would truly be. I'm concerned some in that sense that we know as Christians we are that are believers, train up the child in the way that they may go. But sometimes I feel like some people are not afforded that, if that makes any sense.
I have an example. I've been teaching my daughter how to drive for the past 2 weeks, and she went to take her test yesterday and passed it, barely passed it. And when the instructor gave her her points back, the instructor also let her know that there were two things that I taught my daughter that were incorrect. But that's because I thought they were right. So I was just trying to teach her what I thought was correct. So when the instructor told her that what she did was incorrect, that's where as a parent you have to humble yourself, because I was wrong and I had to let my daughter know that, okay, I was wrong and I apologize, but it was only because of my ignorance and my daughter learning and the Lord seeing that he still allowed my daughter to pass that test. So if we are as parents willing to humble ourselves to let us know where we go wrong at, then that's where our strength begins to be able to allow us to teach our children humility, and in your humility, that is where the strength of the Lord shows. Because I have the same situation with my parents. Like, the only way that I'm going to get through to my parents is silence. Because at this point, my parents distinctly know the Bible front and back, know who wrote it, where it came from, the whole history about it. So there's only... So they know about the Sabbath. They also know about Sunday going. They know all, they just know. They have they're very well knowledgeable of the whole thing. So there was only so much I could say. So at this point, I have to be quiet and let the Lord deal with their hearts, because that's the only way that they're going to be able to acknowledge. And in my walk as an individual and how I am trying to teach my children to follow at the least the Ten Commandments, then they will be able to see that what we are trying to let our parents know is the truth. Otherwise, I have an experience with my parents, like, talking is not gonna work. But I, as a parent myself, have to humble myself, and there's only so much you could do, especially if your parents are real strict. And the type to say, you can't tell me what to do, and there's none of that. So at that point, you're just going to have to be quiet and allow the Lord to work through you.
Being with your parents is hard.
Well, it's amazing. Somebody speaking? Maybe it's very loud. I don't want to block anybody. Is somebody speaking?
Oh, it's just me. I said it's kind of hard sometimes to work with your parents, to try to bring them around to the truth. it's easier with children, I'm sure. I can't speak from experience, but the little people tend to listen to older folks more than older folks listen to younger folks. Go ahead.
From my personal experience, I have my witness here. My dad is here. Dear Sister Cece and the brethren, I know it's very difficult, but I just started to realize that the only one that have been successful to be able to change the heart, reflect upon it, I had to look at Jesus as the way how he ministered. When Christ came here, we all were not worthy. And we were not worthy. We was not learned. We were hard in our own ways of thinking. And by observing Jesus in the midst that he has to go back to the place that he has given, which is the temple, and talk to those that he had left them to become a depository of his word, and realize that even though they did have the word, they didn't understand it. The patience he had, the love he had for them, allowed him to be able to meet them where they were. When I had to be able to go back to my parents' home, they knew the child that they had in personality, in parent, in all behavior. In order for me to be able to allow them to see who is the one that sent me here to give them the gospel, I had to try my best to be a base to allow Jesus to communicate with them. And that is, I don't have no opinion. I don't have no consideration about anything. I just had to, Lord, I came here. These are my parents. One of them is a professor, and he had life experience, which meaning he knows what life is all about, hardship down to whatever it is. The only thing that I can do is hold on and cling to Christ and ask the Lord to reach him where he was and also subdue me, because I had a lot of things that was happening in my life when I was little that the enemy sometimes brought to my remembrance that I can become a hindering to the job that I was supposed to do. But you know what actually brought to be easier for me? I love my parents so much, and I wanted them to be saved so badly that it didn't really matter what I had to go through or how they felt about me. Because many times I had to go walking, go up on a mountain that they have in Cancun, sit there and bawl. I mean, literally bawl, because sometimes in the natural heart, things will come out of their mouth. That in reality, I used to keep saying to myself, it is not my father talking to me. It is not my mother talking to me. It's the enemy that's trying to build a wall between him and I. So sometimes silence will even allow the individual that know already the temperament you have. And when they see you're silent, they want to know what's going on with you, because they're expecting a certain action. But when you think and continue holding on to, it is the salvation at stake. Even if you become injured in your own spirit, just remember, the fight is not a fleshly fight. It's a spiritual battle. And even though that they are our parents and they have taught us, we have to hold on and know that the power that the Lord is doing for the plan of salvation for individual, that is the one that they are going to have to confront. So if we move ourselves away from being in the front and allow Jesus to reach them, you will have fruits. And you will also have that what you would have wanted to tell them, for them to be able to give you the proper information. Sometimes silence would allow the mouth to speak itself, and it breaks you down, because you notice that if you would have done it, you would have made more damage by not waiting and trusting in the one that can save all people, regardless if it's parent, family, friend, or foe. We have to allow God to do the work, because he knows the heart. We don't. And sometimes when we take consideration or even take our feeling, we do more damage than good. I just wanted to share that.
Well, I think we've probably run this long enough. Let's turn it over to Bob. What do you say?
I will try to sing this song next time because I think we went over 33. Forgive me, dear Elder Rob, and I will turn it over to dear Elder. But we have come to the ending of this review, and we hope, pray that we can continue until next week because the informations are very important. It will help us as well. So we will continue with part 6 of our lesson entitled The Feast of Simon House in our study book, Messiah of Ages. If any one of the little one mommies or daddies would like to be able to close with prayer, may you unmute your mic.
Okay, buddy. Have a good day today. And I hope everybody has a good day today and tomorrow. Yes, ma'am. Amen.
Amen. So next week, by God's grace, we will have a new part 6. It will be lesson 287 from our chapter 62 entitled The Feast at Simon House, and that will be held September 21st, 2019. I hope and pray everyone was blessed, and may you all have a blessed rest of the Sabbath.